Apropossi, and welcome to the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
And we have drinks. That's what
yeah, we
do. We've always had drinks in all of our 10, 11, 12, God, however many years we've been doing this, we've always had drinks. But we've got drinks.
Yep.
So I need to let our listeners know I did cheat on my dry month, because Wednesday happened. And I did jokingly say that I would do a dry month in January unless there was a coup.
So,
there was a coup.
Surprise! So,
well, fuck it. Guess I'm having some wine.
Yeah, so I don't feel like that's going back on
anything. I did have some wine on, coup day. That's a weird term. I don't know what I'm doing, but I am back to my regularly scheduled virgin toddies. So,
hey,
tonight I am having tazo tea.
Okay.
Green ginger. This bright green tea blend has a kick from ginger and a sweet note of pear. There's no pear listed in the ingredients, but whatever. It's quite pleasant.
Well, it's just notes of pear.
Notes.
They it's put like, a, they put a note on the bottle that there's not pear in there.
Says
oh,
pear.
Okay. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah, and there's no fun Zen moment quote or anything like that on the regular tea bag. It's just green ginger.
Yeah, literally just a note that says pear.
Pear.
Yeah. Passed in math class.
And it is lovely. I mean, I take my tea with massive amounts of honey. And it works
excellent.
Quite well. So yeah, that's what I'm drinking.
Nice.
Awesome. James?
I picked up sake because I really liked the little juice box that it comes in. It's Lucky Dog Sake.
I've had that.
A tiny juice box. I have not had this, and I am excited to know
Adult
what it is like.
Juice box? Uh-oh.
Yep.
Jenna's not making good faces.
All right.
I mean, it's from a box, so.
I mean, it's kind of the quality that I expected from a box. It's, It has a lot of flavor, which is not what I'm used to with sake.
Right.
And it's not unpleasant, especially I put this in the freezer for a little bit and then popped it in the fridge.
Oh, that's smart, actually.
Drinking this warm, I have been told, is not the way to do it.
But
this is the one that's better cold than warm.
Yeah.
But this... This tastes all right. It's like it has a definite flavor to it.
It does have that. When I had it, I also had it refrigerated, not freezer. So maybe that was my error, but it was refrigerated. So I thought that would be good enough. And it was, Joe actually picked it up for me because he thought it was hilarious, for me to have a sake juice box. And it was at the impulse set. I think you said it right when you said it was what you would expect out of a box.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not atrocious. It's not awful. It's not even really bad. But I don't think it's good either. It just kind of is.
Hmm.
But it's not is in like a white rice kind of way. It's not that bland. It just is.
I think I've kind of identified what the flavor is that I'm getting.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. As weird as this sounds, I think that if I ate a rice ball that had a raisin in it, it's got like a real mild kind of raisin flavor. All or like right. a fig Newton.
Well, that would explain why I wasn't a huge fan.
Almost like
of it.
A fortified wine thing.
A little bit. It's a lot more subtle than fortified wine that I've had.
It's like sake with a drop of port in it.
Yeah, that's pretty spot on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's I would say that's just about exactly it. It's good, but I mean, I went into it with no expectations, and I am not disappointed.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I am drinking a concoction of my own devising. It is Chambord and Cointreau and vodka and ginger ale.
All right.
And it is
I would drink that.
Quite lovely.
Jesus Christ. Red.
That sounds amazing. Yeah, that is brilliantly red.
Yes.
Yeah, the Chambord and the ginger ale really combine to make a pretty color. Ooh, that's interesting.
Good interesting or Minnesota interesting?
No, good interesting. Well, I'm still working on that. Like,
okay.
Fair there's enough. Actually not a lot of ginger ale that I'm getting. I'm getting primarily the Chambord, that black raspberry, you know, Chambord-iness. But then the Cointreau, the citrus from the Cointreau kind of sparkles through.
Gotcha.
And it's all kind of held together with that vodka. That vodka texture.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's acceptable.
Sounds decent, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I do want to say for the record that the way that I'm getting flavor from this sake is different from the way that you get flavor drinking cheap vodka. It isn't that it has like a fusel oil taste to it, where cheap vodka just tastes like diesel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like an oil slick.
This is like a different kind of a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What we all been up to?
Adventures in charging things to credit.
Okay.
All right. So, I moved.
Yes.
Right? I don't know if you guys knew. I certainly haven't been talking about this for like the past 2 months.
I have heard unsubstantiated rumors.
Okay. Mm. Well, substantiate them because it's true. I moved.
Oh.
And having moved, every time you move, you find that you are missing things or there are certain things that you need or don't need based on the new space that you're in, based on what you gave to your daughter as she's moving in her home.
Oddly specific.
Sure.
Huh?
Oddly specific.
Well, you know. there were certain things where I was like, okay, I need these things. I need brackets, very specialized brackets that go on the for like the slidey blinds, vertical blinds.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of putting a curtain bracket behind it and then not having it be long enough or drilling into the holes of a rental at all, they have these brackets that you can put on the top box part of the where the blinds meet and the I don't know what you call it. That top box.
The top part, yeah.
The runner, maybe. I don't know.
Sure.
They have brackets that you can hook onto the runner, the top part, so that you're not drilling into the wall and you don't have to worry about how long it is, and you just bracket, and then it's the curtain curvy hooky part.
Sure.
I'm full of technical terms, you guys. but so you just basically like put those on there, tighten it up, and then you can just put your curtain rod on the curvy part, so you've got a curtain in front of your vertical blinds.
Mm.
Which is a little silly, because you already have vertical blinds. Why do you need curtains? And the answer is because curtains are glorious, and mine tie the entire room together.
Yes.
So, yes, I need curtains.
Mm-hmm.
So I needed to order some of those, along with, like, other various, you know, that was an example of the many different things.
Sure,
that I
needed, yeah.
So I was like, well, I've been avoiding Amazon for quite a while.
Mm-hmm.
But I have this Amazon credit card.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I know I can get these brackets through Amazon, but I don't know that I can get them through other places.
Yeah.
I think I'm just going to charge a bunch of stuff to my Amazon credit, mm-hmm. and whittle that down after I get my security deposit or my tax return or my stimulus, which I'm one of those people that did not get the stimulus.
Ugh.
Right away, and I'm being jerked around on all of that. Like, yeah. So I was like, well, fuck it. I'm charging a bunch of things so that I can make my space mine.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I went a little crazy on charging things, but I did a bunch of stuff on the Amazon credit. And then I was like, okay, but there's this, I need to get some Ninja. I love Ninja kitchen products. I just do. My coffee maker is a Ninja. My little bullety thing is a Ninja.
Mm-hmm.
I have all of the different add-ons for my Ninja IQ thing, so it can blend, it can mix, it can all of these other things.
I mean, isn't your Steam handle Jeninja?
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like there's a theme here.
Yeah, I was just contemplating that myself.
Yeah. Aww. But yeah. So I need some new pots and pans.
Mm-hmm.
Basic, like, the old ones just got old, mostly, and then a couple of them went to Jessa.
Yeah, sure.
I've got, like, I have a frying pan that I just grabbed from the pile of things we were going to donate, and I'm like, well, if I'm desperately in need of frying something, I have this. And I do also have all of my cast iron, but I need to redo all of it. It needs to be stripped and reseasoned, like, hard.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I was like, I need a stock pot, a good deep saucepan, and a good quality fry pan. That's what I need. And Ninja has a set of cookware that is, in fact, a stock pot. A stock pot, a good deep saucepan, and a frying pan.
Well, there you
go. I was like,
right.
Hello, Ninja. Hello, Never Stick Ninja. How are you doing today? So I was like, okay, so I'll charge that one to my actual credit card, because I have, like, Amazon credit, and then I have, like, a credit card. And I went to, and I was like, and I know I have enough to, like, credit on this. I've been slowly paying it down, blah, 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 whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was like, we'll see. Maybe I'll actually get this other thing that I want from Ninja as well. And I went to double check my available balance on my credit card. And you guys, somebody has been really good with her credit, slowly paying things down and bringing her credit score up. Yeah. And my available credit on that card tripled.
Nice!
From my original limit.
Nice!
So, yeah, I got the other thing, too. The other thing being an 11-in-1 pressure cooker air fryer.
Nice.
Rock on.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. So, I've just been ordering random things that, like, I've wanted to make this space mine.
Mm-hmm.
And then today, I was supposed to get one of the other things that I ordered from Amazon was the sitting desk, standing desk converter thing
mm-hmm.
that you put on your stationary desk, but then you can, like, lift it up or down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whether or not you're sitting or standing. And it was supposed to come today. And I was very excited because I need to be able to stand and work yeah. because I've been fucking up my back. So, mm-hmm. you know. And I got a message shortly before we started this podcast that was, there was an unexpected difficulty delivering your desk thing, so we're going to try again later. And I'm like, oh, I wanted that now!
Yeah. Son of a bitch!
That has been happening a lot in the last few months.
Yeah.
I am waiting for something right now that was... that originally had an expected delivery date of the 4th.
Hmm.
And on the 4th, on the expected delivery date, it said it had arrived in, like, Illinois.
No! Oh.
And there hasn't been any activity on it since.
Oh.
So something fell off the conveyor belt in Illinois and hasn't been there since the 4th.
Hmm.
Well, so. I have the tracking on it. And it is in Minneapolis.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, at least I know it's, like, within, you know, driving distance.
Could I go
but, yeah, I've gotten,
pick it up?
Like in December with, like, a lot of Christmas gifts, I got a lot of those emails saying, we're sorry,
yeah.
there will be a delay in shipping and stuff like that. So,
yeah.
I mean, post office is fucked up right now.
Yeah. So yeah, I was sad about that. The other thing, and this one is a public service announcement. Listeners, and fellow co-hosts of the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know if you have a health savings account, there are certain items that you can buy with your health savings account that you might not think that you can buy with your health savings account.
Hmm.
And one of the things that I actually do enjoy about my company is that they recently opened up a store, mm-hmm. just an online place where you can order things with your health savings account money
mm-hmm.
That fall under all the federal whatever for what you can do with your health savings account.
Mm.
You know, I got some things that you might expect. There was a... like a back brace thing that I got for myself. That was mm-hmm. lovely.
Makes sense.
Right. But there are several over-the-counter drugs that you can purchase with your health savings account.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so I stocked up on a bunch of that. I also got Neutrogena facial wash because it is a medicated facial wash.
No, that makes sense.
A lot of Neutrogena products are medicated specifically to help with this, that, or the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I also ordered 3 pairs of Thinks period underwear.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Neither of you have uteruses, so I don't know if you're aware of the glory and wonder that is Thinks. But it is underwear that you can wear when you're having a period.
Mm-hmm.
And basically can absorb much like a pad would,
mm-hmm.
but you don't have to wear a pad.
Oh.
And the glory of Thinks is that, like, you, so, like, when you hear about this at first, you're like, oh, God, it's like wearing a diaper. No. No, it's like wearing underwear. And then your next thought is, oh, God, but it's going to get all, like, damp and mushy and stuff down there. And the answer is no. It's made specifically so that, sometimes, but not like you're thinking. It doesn't get messy. It's all contained within the underwear. So I'm a huge fan of, and there are different brands that are out there now, but Thinx was my first.
Oh yeah, and they look like underwear.
Yep, you can get them in sexy. Like
yeah,
they are.
I'm seeing that.
A lot of them are black, but they do have different colors from time to time. And yeah, they have all sorts of different cuts and styles. I think they have something that's almost like a thong, if that's your thing. That, you know, might not hold as much as the full bikini or whatever.
It
but,
gets
yeah.
a 1 drop out of 5 for absorbency.
Okay. Are you shopping right now, Salsa?
I'm looking at the shethinks.com website. Yep, just because I wanted to know what you were talking about. And
yeah.
So.
Yep. So yeah, it's basically like getting just underwear that, and I use it like if I have, like if I'm spotting or it's a super light day, then I just wear the underwear and go about my business. If my flow starts to get heavier, then I use it in conjunction with my cup.
Sure, yeah.
That's a good idea.
I am always wearing my period underwear because I'm perimenopausal and I never know what's going to happen. and it's comfortable and feels good. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Honestly, it's the most comfortable underwear I've ever worn.
Well,
solid plan.
Yeah. Nice. So, yeah. I managed to buy a whole bunch of that with my HSA.
Awesome.
Hot damn.
So, and here's the thing that some people may or may not understand about HSA is that it is pre-tax dollars, right? It's money that you have that you have not been taxed for.
Yeah.
Which is great. You're saving yourself on those taxes. And then buying things with that can save you more as well. Like, because you need to use up that HSA or each HSA works a little bit differently, but if you, you know, when you get to the end of the year and you've got that use it or lose it type thing.
Yeah.
Well, now you can use it to buy all of the underwear. So yeah, like I have rollover, which is great. But not, I know that there aren't a lot of HSAs that do rollover. So.
I have an HSA that I had from a job like 14 years ago or something like that, like ridiculously long. It's just this really old HSA that I've never really touched or done anything with. But it still has money in there. My new job does an FSA instead of an HSA, which.
Okay.
Fuck those guys.
And like, there are still certain things that you can buy with FSA. It's not as comprehensive as an HSA.
Yeah, the thing with the FSA though is if we have to use it or we lose it, whereas the HSA is just it's our money. So
yes.
But I've got this HSA that has been sitting around forever, and we just never use it. Like, we probably should because we've been paying medical bills and things like that. And we just, whenever we're there, we're not thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's.
You're thinking about getting the finger reattached. Yeah.
Exactly. Or the kids or, you know, whatever. It's just like, that's okay. Well, we got to pay, so we pay it. And then it's only like every, you know, few months when I get my little bank statement from the bank. It's just like, oh, that's a thing.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, one of the things that I like about my company is that so much of our stuff is integrated. I mean, that's why we have an entire technology wing, so that you can go to one website and you can see what your bills are, what you got charged for, how much your plan paid for. how much you are still expected to cover.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
But also, you can just pay it with your HSA online right there.
That's so kind of that's fucking cool. Awesome. Without having to, like, submit stuff separately.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's so
they're
good.
They're like, yep, we went through this, and this is what you owe. You can just click a button, and it's like, take this out of your HSA, and you're like, yes, please, and then you're done.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. I absolutely love it. But that is what I do, basically. When I talk about my mm-hmm. company technology wing and what I do tech-wise, that's a lot of the stuff that I'm supporting is that integration aspect. So
yeah, nice,
cool.
Yeah, but anyway, HSAs, go shopping.
Indeed.
that's my public service announcement.
All right, so Jenna has thus far in this episode endorsed HSAs and thinks so.
Yeah. I can endorse more things if you'd like.
No, and Ninja, I forgot we, and also Ninja.
Oh, and Ninja, yes.
Hey, everybody, guess what I did?
What did you did?
Remember that thing that I was talking about like 4 months ago?
Did you hockey?
I hockeyed!
He hockeyed!
Yay!
The semi-pro league team that I am employed by has finally had games. And it was so I'm messaging my new boss because, by the way, they had a restructuring of the front office, and the person who was the GM, who was my boss, was like became a co-owner, and
oh, wow.
Like the head coach is now also the GM, and like the assistant coach is the assistant GM as well, but they're still also the coaches. And like one of the guys that was in the front office, like player development or something like that, he's now like director of operations or something. Like it just like things suddenly changed. And so I was serious. I sent my old boss, the guy who hired me, I sent him a message because mm-hmm. I was like, I don't even know. Do I still talk to you? Do I talk to someone else? Do I still have a job? You know, like I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, but he got me in touch with the people I needed to get in touch with, and so my new boss, and I was talking to him, and he was like, okay, you know, we're chatting, we had a phone conversation. And he was like, you know, this is the new schedule. This is when we start. By the way, the first two games are in Wisconsin.
Oh.
And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, because the Minnesota ban on gatherings and crowds and stuff didn't expire until after this weekend.
Oh, sure.
But their season began this last weekend. So in order to get around that, be able to have games, they had to go across the border to Hudson, Wisconsin to have those first two games. But whatever.
I have feelings.
I had feelings too. Don't get me. And we will probably discuss those feelings in a little bit. But I want to get through this first. You know.
Absolutely.
But so future games will be, you know, just down the road from my house as they should be. But this first one was a little weird. I did want to, you know, talk about that a little bit because it yes, we do still have a pandemic going on and I do have very mixed feelings about it and I actually do not encourage people to go to the games. Any other year I'd be like, yeah, come on to the games. This year it's like, just don't. Because my situation's weird. I get to sit up in the box, you know, in the booth. Mm-hmm. I'm, you know, where I'm away from people, you know, like it's
right.
Me and the announcer and the scoreboard operator, and that's just the three of us separated, cordoned off from everybody else, and we can keep our distance and know where everybody's at and stuff like that. So You know, mm-hmm. it's a slightly different situation for where I'm at. But that's the thing that's happening, you know. And I did have a lot of questions before I agreed to do it, you know, because it was like, how safe are things going to be here, you know? And a lot of those fears were really kind of put to rest. It does really sound like they're taking shit seriously. And you know, like, the people that I'm working with, you know, always had their masks on. We were in this... we were in the
it was
like,
the Goldies, so...
we were in the media booth box, whatever it was, which was, you know, elevated. It was literally above the penalty box. Literally above. Like, they were under our feet. But we were in this little room, and we were in three, like, the other two were in the two front corners, and I was in the middle back. Like, we were as far away from each other as we could possibly be. And the play-by-play announcer was in the next room, you know?
Hmm.
And he was in the next room, and he had his mask off so he could do the play-by-play over the
announcement system.
But yeah. he was the only one in that room, you know, so okay.
Right.
And you know, the coaches and support staff and everything like that all had masks on the whole time and everything like that. So it was just like, okay, I feel like these people actually are cognizant and aware and mindful of the whole situation. So so I felt like it was safe for me to do this, you know, and I'm careful.
Sure.
But if things go south for some reason, then I'll walk. But in the meantime, for all of those people that aren't going to the games because I'm saying don't go to the games, that's what I do is provide that play-by-play, you know, statistics to everybody so they can from home see what's going on.
Yeah.
So it all works out. But yeah, I got to see a couple games of hockey in because we were in a different arena than everybody else is used to. There was some kerfuffle. like the guy who runs the scoreboard is the same guy who runs the music. So when you're watching a game, there's music that goes on before the game and between periods, and every time there's a stop in the ice, they play a little clip of music, you know, just to keep things going. Well, he was running both. He does both.
Mm-hmm.
But in that booth, the sound was hardwired into the right wall, and the scoreboard is hardwired into the left wall. So we had a cable running as far as it would stretch, and the only reason we couldn't stretch it anymore is because if we did stretch it anymore, you'd start to get bad connection, and it would start to...
Yeah.
So, like, sure. So the sound, his laptop with all the music on it is like in the center of the booth, and the controls for the scoreboard are on the right, on the left side of the room. And so he's trying to do both at the same time.
Oh, wow.
And it's a scoreboard system that he's not used to running. And it's, you know, so everything is it's kind of a mess, you know, like, the very first penalty in the first game on Thursday, he just forgot to put it on the board.
Oh, no.
Like, they started play, and it was like, where's the penalty on the board? Like, you know, the people on the bench and the guy in the penalty box, they're like, I don't know when I can leave. When can I? And we're like, okay, it's okay. It's okay. We've got the timestamp. We're good. Nothing is fucked. We got that. Okay. That's a mistake. It happens. Move on. Friday night, the first whistle, he hits the button to stop the clock at the first whistle. And the thing is he's used to, at the Richfield Arena, he's used to a little toggle that it's a handheld thing that he can hold in one hand and he can switch on and off without even looking at it and run the computer with the other hand and he's fine.
Yeah.
With this right. one, there's a separate button for start and stop.
Oh, no.
So the first two whistles, he hits the button and it doesn't stop because he hits the wrong button. So it's just like, this is a mistake. This is an absolute mess. And then at the end of the first period, things got really tense. Like, a lot of stuff happening around the net, a lot of shots, a lot of whistles. And so, like, there's like 0.6 seconds left on the clock. And the referees, like, put it to like 1.4 seconds. You know, yeah. Not a big change, but it's important. Okay.
Yeah.
But, like, he's fucking around with the board trying to get it to do 1.4 seconds. And, like, he kept for... I don't know why he'd... But he, like, typed it in and hit enter and then, like, didn't look at the board. I don't know why he just, like, boom, I'm done. And then, like, moved on. And it was, like, it says 10.4. And he's like, oh, shit. And so he, like, tries it again. But and I noticed that he was, instead of hitting the dot, he was hitting the zero accidentally. Because, again, not his usual board. And so he kept typing in 10.4, and the referee is starting to yell, you know, come on, guys, let's get this together. And so he's starting to panic, you know.
Right.
And like, the announcer guy is like... No, oh, yeah, you know, and of course we do the thing that people do, where the announcer and me are both like trying to help him. Oh no, you got to do this. And next thing you know, we're all talking and all the while like, no, yeah. And it was just like, make the thing go. We eventually got there, but yeah, it was
live
just
theater.
Like, okay, it's been a while since we did.
Springwell.
And new venue
exactly,
and everything.
Yeah.
But it was annoying but understandable.
Yeah. We got through it. We got through it. And I'm enjoying it. It's something that I'm able to do and I'm having fun doing.
Good.
And I'm getting paid to do it, so hey, there's a win all the way around. But because of the incredibly short season and because of the Minnesota rules on the COVID lockdown and stuff like that, there are some teams in the league that have already played 18 games.
Jeez.
And we have now played 4, you know. And so, like, there's a lot of catch-up to do. And so, like, every day you look at the schedule and there's, like, games being slotted in the middle of a week here. Like, there's some, like, matinee games on Wednesday and stuff like that, just kind of getting stuck in wherever they can cram them in there. So it's like, okay, well, I'm going to be using some PTO, it looks like, this winter.
Sorry, boss. Got to take a half day to go work my other job.
Exactly.
What?
So, anyway.
Yep.
That's what I've been up to. James?
A couple of different things. I've been working on a project for a Give to the Max Day reward that I'm really excited about. The Dungeons & Dragons macro campaign.
Yeah.
I'm super, super pumped about how that's shaping up. And then I have also started playing my first Pokemon game. I have never played Pokemon before.
Like Pokemon Go or Pokemon Cards or Pokemon... Well, there's so many different types
those,
of Pokemon.
That's fair. I've played a little bit of like friends' decks of Pokemon. And I've played Pokemon Go for a while, but this is my first like proper Pokemon game where you're on a single player adventure trying to, you know, do all of the usual story stuff. And it's pretty good. I'm really enjoying it, and we've had some deeply comedic moments.
Awesome.
As a result, I've been really digging that.
Cool.
So, that's other than just keeping on, getting work done.
Mm-hmm.
That's the majority of it. Hilda has a second season, and
yes, it does.
And it's so good.
Oh, it is! It's so fantastic.
I haven't even finished the first season. I think I watched like the first 4 episodes, maybe.
No, it's so delightful.
Yeah,
it is. It's a wonderful show, and yeah, that's it's a good second season too. It is not at all disappointing.
No.
Oh, good.
I just love how all the weird shit happens, and everybody in the town's just like, "Yep, that's a thing."
Yep. A little Night Vale like in that way.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
What are you working on right now?
Right now, I'm working on a gift for someone. I have taken up cross stitching.
I believe you mean a gift.
Oh my god.
And heaved.
Should we take a break?
Yes, I think we need to now.
We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Penn was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
The more you react, James, the worse this is going to get.
But it's just so much.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm grossing James the fuck out. I'm going to... You know how people are like, you should be ladylike?
Nah,
that's not the thing that... I am a lady, so anything that I do ladylike, I'm an actual lady. I bought my fucking foot.
By definition, anything you do is ladylike.
Anything I do is ladylike, including making loogie noises to freak out James.
Yep, that is now officially, you heard it here, folks, officially ladylike.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, our conversation for today, we're going to talk about a thing that I'm sure all of us have thought about many, many times in our lives, because who doesn't think about this, but, you know, capitalism gets in the way. But if money was not a problem, if capitalism, you know, wasn't a thing, if you could... pursue your dreams and goals without having to worry about, you know, putting food on the table.
Sure.
What job would you have? Would you continue to do your job? Do you like what you're doing now? Or would you go, I don't need this fucking job, peace, and do something else?
I've got so many answers for this. Number one, to answer the question, I do like my job. I'm good at it. I enjoy it. It's not like I don't have a great passion for the industry.
Yeah.
But I do enjoy my job. I enjoy my coworkers. We're all people of relative integrity. Like, I don't have to worry about somebody not doing their job, right? And I'm good at what I do, and there is something to be said for, you know, there is a certain amount of help giving within the establishment that does exist, even if the establishment that does exist is not my preferred way of going about medical care. So, yeah. That said, if I could follow something else without having to worry about money, yep, sure as fuck would.
Yeah.
And I can see myself going in 3 separate directions with this. Number one, I could see if I didn't have to worry about money, I could see myself just going full on decadent. I could see throwing parties every other. I could Gatsby this shit. I can just like I would have all of the parties. I would provide all of the enjoyment. I just sleeping till noon. I probably wouldn't sleep till noon. I'm not quite like that, but you know, just having other people do my laundry for me. It's fuck laundry, man. And all of these other, like, I could totally see myself doing that.
I will throw this in there, though, that in the question, we live in a society wherein, you know, we don't need to put up with that bullshit. So I don't know if other people would be like, are you sure? I'll do your laundry. I feel like that.
Maybe.
I feel like the people that would be doing your laundry would be like, fuck off, I'm out of this bitch.
Okay, so what exactly, like, reread the question, because I'm...
Well, the question, it's, okay, for those who, you know, peel back the onion a little bit here, what I did is I Googled random topics, and the question as written is not quite the question I asked, but the question as written is, if money wasn't a necessity, what career would you choose for yourself?
Sure.
Now... That could mean if money wasn't a necessity for you, but that could also mean money is not a necessity.
Right.
If money is not a necessity, then why would anybody be a washerwoman? Not to disparage washerwomen, but why would anybody be like, okay, I'll do that thing for you? Like, unless they're really passionate about that.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Okay. Set aside the laundry thing. Still going decadent.
Okay,
decadence
fair.
Is one of the ways I could totally go. The second one is a lifelong student. Just taking random college classes for the fuck of it. This is just what I want to learn, do, whatever. the third.
Gonna be the next Plato, huh?
Yeah, mwah. I look real good in a toga, you guys.
The old classic philosophers.
But then the third one is something that I've actually thought about on and off for years. Although might not actually be a thing because of the phrasing, which way you look at the question. There is, in our current society, there's a lot of issues with homelessness and God, I don't know why my throat's so gross right now. You know, like I've been a welfare mom.
Yeah.
And there are certain services and things that are available to people for food assistance, for housing assistance. And one of the things that we don't think about that people in a poverty state need is hygiene items.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you guys a sad story. So, when I was on welfare, I was going to a school, to get my tech degree so that I could get off of welfare, right? And there are a lot of kids that took issues with taking classes with a welfare mom. It was a thing. It was gross. I didn't like it. But there were a few people that were nice to me.
You're literally doing the thing that they tell you to do and pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, and they're objecting to it. The aristocrats.
Right. Oh, my God. Well, this one kid, he was like, I don't think that it's fair that you're getting a free ride. And I was like, number one, I'm not getting a free ride. They're called student loans. Number two, you don't have any because your daddy's paying your way through college. So let me ask you this. If you didn't have any money, how would you pay for school? And this kid, this fucking kid, this 19-year-old kid looked at me and said, I would sell my second car.
And you just go, oh, why didn't I think of that?
Oh, I'm not talking to you ever again.
Yeah. That just reminds me of the John Oliver thing where he's like, if you've never mixed water with your shampoo to make it last for another week, you don't get to have an opinion on the homeless.
Yeah.
Or washed your hair with things that were not made for hair washing, such as dish soap or laundry detergent. Jesus Christ, also, what the fuck are you on right now? Okay, I'm not telling the listeners what kind of motions you've been making. That's weird. I'm going to let them just ponder. So anyway, but there was this one kid that wasn't like overly friendly with me or anything, but he at one point he asked me, he's like, I noticed that, you know, you can tell me to fuck off or whatever, but like, do you not have access to soap? And the answer was no, I didn't. Like he was really just trying hard not to offend me by asking this question. But he was like, do you not have access to shampoo? And I'm like, I don't. I'm stretching my dish soap as much as I can. Like, you know, maybe wash it once a week. But I know you're right. Yeah. Like, it's gross. But I don't know what to do about this. The next day he came to school. And his girlfriend at the time was working at a beauty salon. And she just gave him some like high quality salon products to give to me.
Oh wow!
This is the story that like brings me to tears time. It was just the most out of left field kindest fucking thing ever.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that stuck with me, obviously. And I think one of the things that I want to do, and I've kind of started looking into different ways of going about this and what could or should be done about it as either a side job or a side project. Maybe it's something that becomes a full time. But I want to start some kind of organization, and it could be a nonprofit. It could be a there are things. Oh, what do you call them? I don't remember the phrase, but it's like buy things and then a portion of the proceeds go to a thing or whatever. There's certain things that do that. Works towards getting hygiene products to, shelters, to, the food shelves, various places where people could use hygiene products. And I think that there is a lot of possibility out there. Especially when we think of like hotel soaps and things like that. Like one of the things in the work that I've done with, homelessness, and helping out like, you know, people on the sides of the street, I make those like little care packages, and it's always the travel size stuff.
Yeah.
That works best because if you load somebody up with a bunch of stuff, and they don't have a place to put it.
Yeah.
You're not actually doing them as many favors as it's just like a little bit at a time. So like working with places that do travel size things or whatever, and being able to, through either donation, finance, finagling, promotion for places, whatever, be able to curate and then move out hygiene products that are needed in various places by people who can't afford them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if I didn't have to worry about money, I would probably, and if it was just not a necessity for me, I would probably spend more of my time focused on that.
Yeah.
However, the way that question is phrased and the way that Tulsa's been looking at it, nobody needs to do laundry either. So in that world, the need for this service probably wouldn't exist. But if it's just me and I have the ability, then that's what it would be.
Well, I feel like the story you just told, like, in either way, your answer for if money is no object for you, you know, helping others, and money being no object for anyone, you'd be decadent. I feel like that story answers both. Yeah, it's just like, look, I have lived at the fucking bottom, and now I am going to drink and sleep until noon, so fuck off.
Right.
All right, so James, we've split this into two now.
Yeah,
there's
right.
one scenario where if money is no object for you, if money isn't a necessity for you, and if money isn't a necessity for anyone, which career would you choose?
Well, so one of the difficulties that I have in considering this is that either way, the work that I do is valuable to providing food to people.
Okay.
It's like... as a result of me providing technology within my company and making sure that things continue to run and work, instead of thousands of gallons of milk going to waste, they get used somewhere else in a different product. They get donated. They get, you know, whatever. Like, I am providing the technology to the people who make those decisions.
So you would keep your job?
So I would probably keep my job either way, because what I'm doing is providing, because, you know, farmers, even if it's not money that they're after, like, even if money is not a problem for the farmers either, they still have all of this product and people still need food. So if they're still making this product, they will still need somebody to aggregate it, separate it out into different products, make sure that it gets used instead of going to waste, that the distribution is there, and, you know, all of that stuff falls on the company that I work for, which really encourages me to continue helping with that. Either way, well, but one of the critical differences for me would be if I am in a world where only I am post-scarcity, I would want to start a union for IT workers. Because right now, IT workers are undervalued, viewed as replaceable. They are badly mistreated. Badly mistreated. They are forced to work long hours or risk getting fired. They have little to no say in their wages. They are constantly undertrained, and an entire company's mistakes get piled on them to shoulder for the customers, and departments get merged in with them. All like it's I have been at every level of the IT infrastructure. And it fucking sucks for most people. Mm-hmm. I'm in a good place right now, but just like, you know, not nearly just like, but in the same way that Jenna, having seen her range of experiences, mm-hmm. wants to provide assistance to people who are having very particular struggles that she's experienced. At the low end of IT, you get treated like shit. You get ulcers. You get abuse from every side. People have nervous disorders as a result of working for Comcast. Like, that's so fucked up. That's so fucked up. And if I can help them with that, I want to. And especially in a world that relies more and more on technology that these people are engineering for, that they're troubleshooting, that they're setting up, that they're, you know, coordinating all of this other stuff. Like, it has become a service. It has become a commodity, like or a utility, like plumbing and electricity and everything else. And so I think a union's a good idea. But obviously, if we're in a post-scarcity world, people aren't going to work for a company that treats them like shit. Mm-hmm. They won't have to.
Right, yeah, they're gonna be exactly. Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, cool, you need people to come in on Christmas and Thanksgiving? Well, I hope you find them. Peace. A lot of tech companies right now rely on their status as an entry level job in order to treat their employees like absolute shit. So, if that's not necessary or useful, I think I would probably move. I think I would probably stay where I'm at, but then also have a cottage, like a seaside cottage, that I could go and just hammer out a couple of novels on a typewriter and just do that. Just be a writer and a tech guy, you know, which is kind of what I'm doing right now.
Sure.
But I start to sweat my bank account toward the ends of the months. So,
both of you are so fucking noble, and I'm going to bring the room down.
Mm-hmm. That's what we're used to.
What'd you say, Jenna?
I also had decadence. So,
I suppose, but you had decadent, and then you countered it with like this really heartfelt story of why you deserve to be decadent. And I don't have that. In a surprise to no one, I would be an entertainer and an artist. And that's the same answer for both, whether it was just me independently wealthy or if society itself no longer, you know, required money. I would still be an entertainer and an artist. Just because that is what truly makes me happy day in, day out, year in, year out, is entertaining people and creating things. Whether that be creating pastries or creating wood or, you know, wood whatever, or creating resins art or creating chainmail or you know, whatever that may be, just the act of creating and making something is what truly makes me happy. And so if I didn't need, whether me or the world didn't need money, that's what I would absolutely do, is I would create things, and not just create physical things, but also create performances that would make people happy. Yeah. You know, bring smiles to their faces and, you know, a little bit of bile to their throats when I'm swallowing swords.
I feel like the world will always need that.
Exactly. So, that's my answer. And I know it comes as a total shock to everybody that that's what I would say.
I'm entirely shocked, yes.
Well, dear listeners, please weigh in on this. Tell us what you think. Answer both parts of the question, or if you feel like that we have asked it in a completely incorrect way, by all means, correct us and answer whatever question you want to. I mean, I guess you could answer whatever question you ever really want. No, we're not calling people out, James. That's not very nice. Stefan. But by all means, please go to our Facebook and leave a comment. Yeah. What would you do? Whether it was just you independently wealthy or the whole world no longer found wealth to be a necessity. The whole world has suddenly gone full communist. what would you do as a career? What would you continue to do what you were doing, or would you do a complete about face? Let us know what you think. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a little bit.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
And it's time for a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
Today's Fast Five comes to us from, let me double check, Dennis Zastara.
Zastara, 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 Zastara.
Oh my God. That was fucking awful.
It sounded spot on to me.
Dennis gives. Okay. For those that do not know how this works, Fast Five is we are sent. We get five choices and we have to choose, and then we, you know, find out what that choice
context
means, and we, you know how this works.
Find out who is right and who is dead.
Dennis gives absolutely no context for this. Subject line is just Fast Five. This is we're dry dogging this. So here we go. Question number one.
Yay!
Wood or metal?
Can you spell wood?
Yes.
Okay, good to know.
All right.
I'm gonna go wood. I would rather have a wood fence than a castle.
Cast iron is nice, but almost universally I like wood over metal in most things.
Yeah. Yeah, I would tend to agree with that.
We seem to have an accord.
Trying to think if there's like an exception to that rule that I would vociferously defend, and I'm just thinking about how gorgeous wood floors are, just hung up.
I would definitely be the
thinking about it.
The full wood alchemist.
Yeah.
All right. Question number two. Charcoal grill or stove?
Oh, how do you like your steaks prepared? And the answer is either way. But
yes.
I think charcoal grill.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something about a grilled steak that gets like just the smokiness and the
like the everything. Like crisp fat layer on the outside.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah.
Joe made steaks this weekend. It was delightful.
If somebody else is doing the cooking, charcoal grill. If I'm doing the cooking, stove. Just because I don't have a lot of experience cooking on a grill, especially a charcoal grill. And charcoal grills can be really touchy about heat and, you know, disbursement and stuff like that. Whereas I have a lot of experience cooking on a stove. So I would get a better product out of a stove. But if somebody who knew what they were doing was cooking, absolutely the charcoal grill. So I'm going to go grill.
I think I might say stove for the same reason. The majority of the stuff that I've cooked has been on or in a stove. I haven't got a lot of grilling experience, and I wish that I had.
In a stove?
Yeah, like in an oven.
That's an oven, not a stove. Those are two different things.
See, I think of a...
Well said.
Say that again, Jenna.
I have to agree with Salsa.
Okay.
The stove and the oven is the oven. You can have a stove flat and like an oven located elsewhere.
But they also call it a stove top. And yeah, a range.
Yeah, a range is a stove. It's mostly. There's differences.
And technically, a stove is a traditionally is a wood or charcoal heated item for heating a room, and then
that's a different. We're talking about different things here, because an oven heats by surrounding the object with heat, and a stove heats by heating from beneath. There is a very big fucking difference. You cannot bake bread on a stove. I dare you to try.
Oh, I understand what you're saying.
There
what
is
you're saying
a
is
difference.
I dare you to bake bread on a range.
No, I dare you to bake bread on a stove. Because a range is different.
Home, home on the range.
Or home on the stove, if it's up to Salsa.
Oh my god.
I just said they're different, not the same. Jesus Christ. How are you... You're making me say exactly the opposite of what I literally said.
You said that a stove is the same as a range.
James, it's a ramp.
Okay.
Fuck's sake, charcoal grill or stove?
Stove.
Don't justify it. Just go. Go to the next question. Go, go, go.
Question number three. One or two?
Oh, one is the loneliest number.
And I should clarify here.
Two can be a kind of
I do need to elaborate a little bit based on reading ahead. This is the numeral one or the numeral two. I don't know if that means anything, but this is the numeral one and the numeral two.
I don't love that.
I don't care. It's all just symbols. Let's see.
I'm going with one.
I'm going to say two. Because then you got a backup.
But what if it's a question of how many flat tires do you want? I'm going to choose two.
Two, because then I have a backup.
Nice.
You're going to
I'm going to say I'm going to say two because I was almost always second player growing up. Being the little brother meant being second player. For me, at least.
That's fair.
All right. We good? All right. Question number four.
Woo!
one or four. And this whole time, we are using the word one and the word four. Again, I don't know if that's significant or not.
Yeah.
But there's a difference.
Can you spell four?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Thank you. Damn it.
I think one or four.
Sticking with one personally.
Yeah. Like, do you prefer one player games or four player games? I prefer four.
That's a really good one.
Oh, that is good. Good guess on that context. I'm gonna go four because I miss people. The extrovert is having just a hell of a time right now.
I believe it.
Same.
All right. Question number five. Intelligence or wisdom?
Oh, son of a bitch. I'm definitely more of a wisdom than an intelligence.
I can't really claim either.
If I were to give one to you, James, I would say intelligence.
Yeah. I think that's probably the case.
You have a lot of fun random trivia that I'm just like, what? Okay.
Yeah. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with wisdom.
Yeah.
And it's kind of more of a gut thing than a really cerebral thing.
Sure.
Wisdom is the definition over intelligence, but also the reason I'm choosing it. Yeah. We all good?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. We are going to open up the other email, and it says, oh, you son of a... Dennis starts this email by saying, you do realize that you say the first email should only be the questions, right? I'm just doing what I was instructed to do. Like Mav does.
Yeah.
God damn it. Without much further ado, here's the second half of this Fast Five. Question number one, wood or metal? Which material do you find more preferable to polish?
Oh.
I'm gonna say metal. It's mostly a texture thing.
Swords.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's something I do a lot. But even like, I can't remember the last time I polished wood. What?
I do.
Very interesting. Remember the last time I polished wood?
No, remember the last. Yes. I remember the last time I polished wood, and it was just very recently. But that having been said, I also polish metal, my swords for swallowing, and I do have to say, when I get those nice and polished, they fucking look good.
Yeah.
Not that the wood doesn't look beautiful as well, but just something about the sparkle and the shine of polished metal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I would say I get the opportunity to work with metal a lot more in my day-to-day life. But if I had like real wood fixtures in my home, like banisters and stairs and floors and things like that, man, I don't know that I would have the time or the motivation to like clean all of that to a polished shine, but fuck, that would be so satisfying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So I guess right now, metal.
Okay.
I like the end product of polishing wood.
Mm-hmm.
I just, yeah, the actual process is a little, just a little sensory weird for me.
See, I'm the opposite. I enjoy the process of polishing wood more, but the end product, I like the metal bit more.
Huh.
Oh, well. Question number two, charcoal grill or stove? You're making steak for one person, yourself. Would you rather take the time to prepare a charcoal grill, or do you save time by cooking on the stove in a cast iron pan or the like?
It is more likely that I will cook in a pan. But if I have time, because usually it's just a time thing, time and effort thing for me. But which steak would I rather have is the charcoal grill.
It does specifically say would you rather and not which are you more likely to do, so.
Right, that's what but like, oh, where was I with my train of thought? Shit.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You had said if time was not a factor.
Yeah.
If time was not a factor and energy was not a factor, I would rather the charcoal grill.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Same, James?
I think I would want Joe to teach me how to grill a steak.
That's a good call.
That is a
very good call. In the future, I think that sounds great. But at this moment in time, as I said, I'm not good at... I would ruin it on a charcoal grill, so I would do a stovetop, personally.
Hmm.
So I'm going to let Joe know that once we can do these types of things again, he's going to be teaching classes on how to grill steaks.
I would absolutely do that.
Yeah.
All right. Question number three. When talking about color theory, do you explain things through a color wheel, two-dimensional, or accurately on a one-dimensional spectrum? Purple isn't real.
Oh my god.
I have no idea what any of that means, I'll be honest.
I was about to say, like...
Colors are a myth? So, one?
I use color wheel. And yes, I know that that's not a thing, and I know that there are colors on that color wheel that we make up in our brains. I don't care.
Question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is color theory?
Oh, shit. I suppose it can have different applications, different thoughts. There are different theories to application. For instance, in interior design, which I was actually halfway towards becoming an interior decorator before I became an internet guru. We talk about color theory as in how different colors interact with each other based on hue and shading and, honestly, where they exist on a color wheel. You've got your complementary colors, you've got primary and secondary and things like that. Mm-hmm. So that's probably why I lean more towards a color wheel is because that's where I learned to kind of explore color as shades and hues and what you can get away with in coordinating colors.
Gotcha. I think... I mean, the idea of it being one-dimensional, I wonder if they're asking about, like, not a color wheel, but a... either the specific color not in reference to other things, or if, you know, like, green is a good color to use for this because it makes you feel this way, or blue is a good thing to use,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that stuff, yeah.
You know, like the kind of the psychology of color.
Well, what was the context again? Can you read the context for us again, Felsen?
Certainly, yeah. Yes. It was, when talking about color theory, do you explain things through a color wheel, two-dimensional, or accurately on a one-dimensional spectrum? Purple isn't real.
So they're talking specifically about light. I think, like the waves and where they fall on the light spectrum.
Okay.
Hmm.
That's how I would read that.
Right.
Okay.
And yes, I know fuchsia doesn't exist, but I love it anyway.
Well, I mean, it doesn't exist as a wavelength.
Mm-hmm.
But it does exist as a perception.
Right.
Which like is beautiful. We have named it.
Yes.
I mean, we can recreate it. A lot of things that don't exist, James.
Some days.
That's also true. But those things also still exist, even if they exist as fiction. So there's
question number four. Where is the better starting place for a Fast and Furious franchise?
Oh.
The Fast and the Furious or Fast and Furious?
Because Fast and Furious was the first.
I don't you.
Yeah,
and then the Fast and the Furious.
I have seen.
Was like.
The first one, and that's it.
I've seen, I want to say, like, three or four of them, and they... I respect all
like
of the people who are in them.
17 now? Or, like, 11? Or...
No, they're up to, I believe, 8.
Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. They're good movies for somebody else. They're not necessarily my type of thing.
I'm going to go with one, because it seems like, why would you start in the middle? That doesn't... I mean, I'm sure that there is something going on in there that means four is like a reboot, or I don't know, but I'm going to say one, because it's the beginning.
Okay. I feel like my inclination would be to say that not... Oh, man. So much time has passed. Holy shit.
What?
It's been 20 years since the first one came out.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Wait, so you're telling me that this franchise is as old as Jessa?
Yes.
My adult child who is now living on her own?
Yes.
Well, that...
I'm pretty sure that... In fact, I'm fairly positive that it was either my junior or senior year of high school. If only there were a series of tubes that could tell us, but...
Right.
Holy crap.
All right, well, while James wallows in that moment, I'm going to go question number five.
Yeah.
intelligence or wisdom?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. Which is a worse check to fail loudly in public?
Wisdom.
I agree. I think wisdom.
I would actually say failing intelligence loudly in public. There's a current social zeitgeist to just kind of pounce on somebody who gets something wrong.
But I feel like getting a fact wrong loudly in public is embarrassing, but if you get common sense wrong loudly in public, that's embarrassing as fuck. Like, that's... Ugh.
Well, and... Yeah, my scenarios that are playing out in my head are that one of them, you just say something that's wrong about Machu Picchu on a game show or something, right? Like,
yeah, like that's what
you get your Jeopardy question wrong, but then failing a wisdom check would be betting all of your money on that wrong answer, or would be, not knowing to not bring something. Watch out for snakes.
Oh, this wild bear looks fun to pet.
Not necessarily knowing that it isn't the right time to bring something up. You know? Like, as a Jeopardy contestant.
Oh, yeah. No, if a Jeopardy contestant gets it wrong, that's embarrassing. Asking your friend, Jenny, who's going through a divorce, about her husband loudly in public. Yeah, let's not. I feel like that's... No, I would be mortified.
Yeah.
I'm not 100% sold, but I see where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know. I think mostly I might just be frustrated with the current zeitgeist of people pouncing on others for getting facts wrong.
That's fair.
That drives me insane. It's like, you don't need to attack somebody with it. Just be like, hey, psst, by the way. And then if they continue to be an idiot about it.
Then it's fair game, yeah.
No, buddy, yeah. We're not. No, but yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, if you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send two emails to salsa@a1podcast.com. The first one should contain nothing but the choices and any color that you want to give it. So there. The second one...
Oh, shit.
No.
You're going to get these red herring salsa.
Yeah, you are.
Oh, God damn it. And not context. Give us
commentary?
Commentary or an introduction. Give us an introduction, motherfucker. Your first email should contain nothing but the five choices and an introduction if you want. And the second...
Just call salsa an idiot.
The second email, repeat those choices, then give us some fucking context. Who's got something to plug?
I have.
Go for it.
Game night with a park ranger is... we've already had our first successful show with that. We've got another week this week, Thursday, 7 p.m. And Salsa will put the link to the Eventbrite page, and please absolutely do this, because this is an absolute blast, and it's a chance to not only see some of your favorite fearless folks and play fun games, but also we have special guests, celebrity guests, so there's that. The week where I'm performing is this week. So, by all means, I would love to see people there. Come and do that thing.
All right. Jenna?
I got nothing.
All right. The only thing I have to say is I'm in that same Park Ranger show, but I don't do it for a couple more weeks yet, so we'll talk about that later. Who's got a shout-out?
I do.
Okay.
All right.
In a time where people have been pretty resoundingly unwilling to give up problematic shit, I would like to give a shout out to MST3K for considering renaming one of their characters, who it turns out has a really problematic name, as fans of this podcast will probably already know, and they have already been working to change the name of that character. Which I think is amazing. I think it's fucking outstanding. And also, double shout out, similar vein. A lot of Brits are struggling to come to terms with trans folks, but Ian McKellen and Patrick Stewart aren't, and they're, you know, being wonderful. Shout outs to them and Eddie Izzard and, you know, good folks who are just progressive and awesome.
Mm-hmm. Jenna?
I'm going to give a shout out to my brother. Hmm. He didn't do anything specific. He's just pretty cool.
He is pretty cool. I can't fault yeah. you at all on that one whatsoever.
Yeah.
I am going to give my shout out to therapeutic shopping.
Oh.
I've done that lately.
Because I did that on Wednesday. Not yeah. something I have really ever engaged in, but Wednesday it felt really fucking good.
Yeah.
Because I needed something to keep my mind off of it, and there are some things that I've had my eye on craft-wise that I was never quite ready to, like, I was just like, I don't really need this. Someday I might want it, but I don't need it at this moment. And then Wednesday happened, and I was like, fuck it, I'm buying this shit. And I did. I bought all those things, and then I completely forgot all the stuff that I bought.
like you're your own secret salsa.
Because my wife was like, because I was having this conversation with my wife about, you know, feeling like I just wanted to spend money, and she was just, she came back to me a couple hours later. She was like, "So I just spent about $60 on yarn, so." Go to town, and I was like, okay. so we both shopped our feelings a little bit. But I bought a rotisserie turner, so Ooh. I could make specifically so I could make a it's called a slow roller, and basically what it does is it slowly rotates so that you can put resin on a 3D object and have an even coating. Because if it's yeah. not moving, then it will drip to one side and be uneven.
Sure.
And it takes yeah. hours and hours and hours and hours and hours for it to set, so you can't do it manually. So you have a slow roller that just slowly turns it over a period of many hours. So I bought this rotisserie and then completely forgot that I bought it. And was talking to a friend of the podcast, Eric Thompson.
Curse the French.
And I was, because he also does resin stuff, and I was bemoaning this thing that I was, project that I was doing, and I wasn't sure how I was going to do it. And then, like, an hour later, I messaged him back, and I was like, it's okay! I'm going to have a slow roller! Fixed! Problem crisis averted! Completely forgot that I bought it.
Nice.
And then when it arrived, I found out that the we've got a grill, gas grill in our backyard, and it had the rotisserie Ooh. Stick but no motor. And I checked, and sure enough, it fits.
Nice.
So not only can I do my craft stuff, but now we can do like rotisserie chuck roast or something like that on our grill in this coming summer. So I'm really happy about that. So anyway, therapy shopping, it's fucking awesome. Mm. I don't recommend it every day, but
no,
it worked for me.
I did indulge a little bit with American Science and Surplus. It's one of my favorite places to shop.
Nice. So we are not just because
the initials spell ass.
We are endorsing everything this episode, apparently.
And you get an endorsement, and you get an endorsement.
Anyway, any other notes? Anyone?
Mm. Oh, yeah. One more time, Jenna?
I said B flat, because it's a note. Yeah.
Sometimes really in the early morning, A minor.
Bye, bye, love you, bye, 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 bye.
Thank you so very much for listening to this episode on behalf of myself and James and Jen. Oh, sorry, Dennis Estera, thank you for sending in the Fast Five. Woo-hoo. On behalf of myself and James and Jenna, eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.